Guys, so much for joining us for our Thursday night home church teaching. We are broadcasting from the Warrenton Home Church here at the Dudeplex or Brenton and Michael's house. It's been a while since I've actually been live at a house before, so it's just kind of cool, but it's also a little weird always to have all these people watching me as I'm talking to a camera, so I might be looking away at the people as well as at the camera, so that's what's going on here. And if you guys were with us last week, we went through 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 11, and we were talking about the three main categories that Paul discusses regarding what the gifts of the Holy Spirit are and what they look like in the believer's life. And we're going to elaborate this week and then next week, because it's kind of a long discussion, more on the third category we saw mentioned, and that is the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Something that we're talking about because we basically saw an example of this in Acts chapter 10, verses 44 through 46, where we see the Holy Spirit comes upon these newer Gentile believers, and then they speak in tongues or other languages. And so it's something that basically, you know, there's questions about in the church or whatnot. So we always want to go to the Word to look at that. And with these specific gifts, the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, the third thing we talked about last week, there by and far appears to be the most confusion or kind of difference of opinions among Christians. And some of that confusion comes from people letting their views be shaped by kind of either what they've been exposed to or what they've seen in kind of different church experiences, or kind of what they've heard other people tell them, or what they can comprehend in their own understanding, something that, you know, Paul's, we're going to see him say, is a mystery, so that we can't fully comprehend. And both, either one of those things aren't the preferred way to understand the things of God. We always want to go to his Word and know what he says in his Word, because that's going to give us the best explanation, because it's the right explanation. And so that's what we're going to do today. And basically, having a wrong understanding of these gifts can unfortunately limit us from experiencing the blessings, or specifically the edification or the building up that God intends for us through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So we don't want to miss out on that. So that's why it's important to know. So we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 14, where Paul discusses these gifts in greater details, but first let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll break it down in the Word. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, again, thank you so much for your Word. You know, in this specific thing, Lord, again, where there's some differencing of opinions, and probably most of us have been exposed to kind of different ways people operate in these gifts of the Holy Spirit, and you know, at some point have wondered, you know, well, what's the right way, and what are these for? What's the intent of them? You know, these are things you answer in your Word, and we're thankful for that. And we want to go to your Word to let that dictate what we believe. It's not about what we think. It's about what you say. And so, Lord, as we go through your Word, I pray it would help give us understanding and answer questions we might have. And ultimately, Lord, we'd be able to experience all the gifts that you intend for us and all the blessings that come with them. We don't want to miss out on anything you have. So we pray for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, it should be noted that Paul is basically addressing these things in this chapter because there was confusion about them in the church in Corinth. And basically, things were out of order. They were being done not in accordance with God's intent or what God's Word says. And so that same thing is the same thing we see people struggle with. The same thing they struggle with in church back then is the same thing we can struggle with today. And it's why this chapter is here, ultimately, why the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to put it in here, so that there would be no confusion, so that we'd have what we needed to know about these things. In 1 Corinthians 14, 1, starting in verse 1, and I'm going to be reading out of the New Living Translation today because I think it's just a little easier to understand what he's saying. He says, "Let love be your highest goal, but you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy." So Paul exhorts the church here, number one, to love people. Again, this is in line with what Jesus said. You know, the most important commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And secondly, like it, to love your neighbor. And so he says that. It's the most important thing, loving people. But the second thing he says here is that we should desire these special abilities or gifts of the Holy Spirit that he's talking about, especially to prophesy, or as I said last time, you know, basically to speak forth God's Word or to share the heart of God with people, basically the Holy Spirit sharing with you what God's heart is, which is always going to be in line with God's Word, and then you sharing that with others for the purpose of edification. So he says those are things of desire, and that's the first thing I want you to note. These manifestations of the Spirit Paul is talking about are to be desired by us, not feared or weirded out or just dismissed, as, you know, basically some Christians can make the mistake of doing, and I've made the mistake of doing at different points in my walk with the Lord before I fully understood these things. Even though these gifts were being abused in some sense, Paul doesn't say just don't deal with them, because obviously you guys aren't doing them right, or, you know, don't dismiss them. That's not what he's saying. He's saying actually the opposite. And, you know, if you think about it from a logical perspective, if, like, for instance, I go into a restaurant and I see somebody that's totally overweight and they're abusing eating, like they're just eating crazy at the buffet or whatnot, would the answer be for that person to totally just give up eating? No, because basically they die. I mean, that would leave them unhealthy. That wouldn't be the answer. The answer would be for that person to learn how to eat properly and in a healthy way. All right. And so much in the same way with the gifts of the Spirit, the answer for these people that are confused and doing things wrong isn't non-use, but it's proper use. And so that's what Paul is doing. Don't forget about all this stuff, but here's what God's intent is with these things. So that's the same for us, to learn these proper application of these gifts, not to deny the work of the Spirit. And it's important to understand that, because if you're not in a place of, as we're exhorted here by Paul, of desiring the gifts described in this chapter, but rather wanting nothing to do with them, or just like they're too confusing, and you know, I'm speaking from experience because there was a point in my walk where I was like that. That's not really a good place to be. It's not where he's exhorting you to be. And, you know, we need to come to the Lord at that point and try to identify what's the reason for this. Is it because I just don't know what your word says? Is it because I've been turned off by what I've seen, like these things being abused or done incorrectly? But those are things God can help you with, because we don't want to be in a place of missing out on being blessed. As we're going to see, these gifts are intended to personally edify us or strengthen us or build us up, or God wants to use them through us to personally strengthen and edify our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, something that I want to mention right off the bat that I believe can help bring clarity to this, one of these specific gifts, the gifts of tongues that we're going to see Paul discuss in the following verses, that brought clarity in my life when, you know, I as I was going through the word, I started to see this in the way Paul was talking about things, is that he addresses it being used in two separate settings. Number one, in a public setting, or when we gather with other people, and he kind of gives some principles around that. And then in our private devotional time with the Lord. So there's two separate settings where this gift is used, and there's kind of different principles that he gives with each of those settings. And you're going to see that as he discusses through the following verses and other parts of Scripture. It's important to kind of pay attention to what the context is of the setting that he's talking about, because he kind of flips back and forth. He goes back and forth with it, and it helps you understand the principles that he's applying and how that gift is supposed to look in that specific instance. So regarding tongues being used in a public setting, he says there in verse 2, "For if you have the ability to speak in tongues," and so I think that's important to note right off the bat, if, because basically not everybody's going to have that gift. You know, he's using that term there. It's a gift that God desires to give to people at his will for his purpose, and he makes those decisions, but there's nothing weird if you don't have that gift. And it's not, who's to say that you might never be given that gift? You might be. But he's saying, for if you have that ability to speak in tongues, you will be talking only to God, since people won't be able to understand you. So since he's talking about it in the context of other people being able to understand you, we know he's talking about it in a public setting. That's what I mean by the context of where he's talking is important to understand what he's, the specific gift he's trying to address and how it's to be used in that context. So he's talking about it in a public setting. And he makes clear that when somebody has the gift of tongues, they're speaking only to God, all right? And this goes right along with the examples we see in Scripture, as I've previously pointed out, when we've run across them in Acts, when, like Acts 10, when the new believers started speaking in tongues, it said they were praising God. They were actually praising God in other languages as the Holy Spirit led them to do, all right? And I point that out because maybe you've been around people speaking in tongues in some kind of church gatherings. I've seen these things before. And there's some sort of interpretation that's directed towards other people that are there, like maybe some sort of revelation or some sort of word that is interpreted out of the tongues that were spoken. And basically, with what Scripture says, I don't believe that's a correct application of that gift, because we don't see a biblical example of it being used that way. And as I pointed out on Sunday, anything of God's will most certainly should be found in God's word. And if it's not, I'd hold it highly suspect if it's really the Lord behind it. What we see in Scripture is that prophecy consists of words directed towards people, and tongues and interpretations consist of praise towards God, which is in line with what Paul is saying right here. And the examples we see in the book of Acts, that they follow those examples, all right? Or they follow that guideline. So now Paul goes on to say, regarding tongues, you will be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it will all be mysterious. So when someone's praying in tongues, it's the Holy Spirit that's basically leading them in that, or directing them in what they're saying, is what Paul's saying. In another place in Scripture, Paul says in Romans 8:26-27, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I would say it's safe to assume that there's probably many instances in your life, because I know there are in mine, where in some situations I just don't know how to pray. Or I know that I should be praying, but I don't really know what I should be praying. Like, you know, maybe there's some decision to make, and it's like, I don't know what the proper prayer is. I don't know what God's will is. Or I'm just kind of at a loss for words. Something I'm going through is hard, and I just don't know how to pray anymore. And I've always found this passage in Romans 8 comforting, that I have the Holy Spirit to basically pray on my behalf when I don't know how to pray. And that the Holy Spirit, being perfectly equal with God, always knows perfectly how to pray in line with God's will. So the Holy Spirit prays on your behalf, always in line with God's will, which is always going to be pleasing and perfect and good, as I point out in Romans 12. And that's meant to be a comforting thing, that even when you don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit prays for you. Now, some people question, well, that passage right there is talking about speaking in tongues or praying in tongues. And I would say that I couldn't 100% say that, because it doesn't use the same language. It doesn't say, it says groanings, it doesn't say tongues. So I don't know if I would, you know, be able to, I would not be able to say that as a teacher 100%, that that's what they're talking about, the same thing there. But what I would say is, at the very least, you have another instance, in addition to 1 Corinthians 14 in Romans 8, where we see that it's not a weird thing that the Holy Spirit speaks on our behalf to God. Basically, you see two instances, whether the same or they're two different things, where that is a normal thing that the Holy Spirit speaks on our behalf, all right? And there have been times in my life where I just don't know how to pray, and the only thing maybe I can come up with is a groan or a sigh, because I just don't know how to put into words what I'm wanting to say to the Lord, or I just don't know what to pray for. And I'm wanting to pray to God, and whether it be through that groan or sigh that I'm just trusting that the Holy Spirit's praying on my behalf, or as we're going to talk about next week as we go further in this chapter in verse 14, I look to the Holy Spirit to speak through me to God in tongues or an unknown language because I don't know how to pray. And even though I don't know what I'm saying, it, you know, basically it's a mystery to me, as Paul says in verse 2 there, like basically you won't understand what you're saying. Because I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit is doing what the Word says, that He's praying on my behalf when I don't know how to pray, and that the Holy Spirit's leading me in it, I know He's speaking in perfect harmony with God's will, as this passage says. Basically, the Word says He's doing this, so it involves me participating and trusting that when I don't know how to pray, I'm looking to God to pray on my behalf, and the Holy Spirit is going to lead me in that prayer. And I think one of the things that held me back personally from believing in the gift of tongues for a while was that I didn't completely understand it when what the Word tells us right here in verse 2 is that's normal. Like, that's okay, that you're not going to completely understand it. basically that's what Paul says there in verse 2, but it will all be a mystery. You'll be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it'll still be a mystery. So in other words, the Lord will be speaking through you, the Holy Spirit will be leading you in what to say, but you still won't understand what it is. You won't understand everything going on. And if you really think about it, there's a whole lot of things in God's Word that we probably can't wrap our mind around fully, but we still believe in them because we're called to walk by faith and not by sight, right? I don't completely understand the Holy Trinity, but I believe it because the Bible teaches it. I don't fully understand how the atonement of my sins by the blood of Jesus works. I don't understand exactly how he was fully God and fully man. I don't understand exactly what heaven's going to be like, because when I read the descriptions of it, it's pretty out of this world. It's nothing that we've ever witnessed, but yet I fully believe in those things I'm reading because they're what God says. So fully understanding or being able to explain something in God's word is, or not being able to do that, is not a reason in itself to just discredit thing. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Just because we can't wrap our brains around it, I wouldn't be quick to discredit it for that reason. Otherwise, there'd be a whole lot of things that we wouldn't believe in. And again, like 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we're called to live by faith and not by sight. And sometimes it takes faith to just simply take God at his word and believe before he can do the stuff he wants to do in you and through you. And I think in this instance, that's very applicable. Verse 3, but he says, one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. As I already mentioned, where his tongues is directed at God, prophecy is directed at people. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally, but one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. So where speaking in tongues is more so for personal edification, personal building up, personal strengthening, and the reason why I believe it should be more common in your private devotional life, and we'll talk more about that next week as we go through this chapter, but rather than in a public setting, it's not something that should happen a lot in a public setting because it's for personal edification. Prophesying or speaking forth God's word, God putting a word on your heart, whether that's, again, always in line with his word, but whether it's specific to somebody in their situation or putting a scripture on your heart for yourself or for somebody, but speaking forth God's word is for the edification of others. What verse 3 tells us regarding prophecy is that when someone shares a word from the Lord with us, or when we share it with others, there's three things that should come out of that. Basically, it should strengthen or edify or build us up, or it should encourage or exhort us in something, or it should comfort us in some way. And I think that the reason for it, what Paul points out here for prophecy, I think it's important because there seems to be a heavy emphasis, and you might have noticed this in some church circles today, on prophecy being where you give someone revelation about their future, or basically similar to kind of like the New Age practice of fortune telling. Like, it's all about telling the future in somebody's life. Now, I'm not saying that the Lord doesn't give somebody a word or can't give somebody a word about their future, as we do see examples in Scripture in the book of Acts and in the New Testament of prophetic words being given that have to do with kind of revelation about future events. It does happen, but I think it's a rarity. And it's interesting to me that Paul doesn't mention anything about that as being the ultimate purpose of prophecy, specifically, basically involved telling the future about people or from their lives, basically when he's going over the main reasons for it. So I would say, at the very least, it's probably safe to presume that that's not the most common application of this gift. And if for some reason there is revelation being given, it's still for the purpose of strengthening, encouraging, and comforting people. All right. And that's the second point that I want you to note, is that the manifestations of the Spirit are for the purpose of edification or building up God's people. And that's important for us to understand, because I don't know about you, but I feel weak a lot of the time in my relationship with God or in the things in my life that I'm trying to live for his glory. And I'm not wanting to miss out on any of the strengthening that God says in his word that he has for me, nor do I want to miss out on the opportunity the Lord gives me to strengthen and build up other people. So being open to and desiring these gifts, as Paul tells me to, is what at the very least will allow, or at least in part, is what will allow the Lord to accomplish these things in my life. It's part of the strengthening process, so I don't want to miss out on that. Now, I can think of a couple examples in my life recently regarding prophecy and how the Lord, the Holy Spirit's kind of worked in my life in that regard. I think of kind of early on in my, when I took over as being a pastor, and I was struggling with kind of like comparing myself or other people comparing me to our previous pastor, and like just trying to put a bunch of pressure on myself to, in a sense, step into someone else's shoes. And I think I said something like that from the pulpit, and this person gave me this scripture. They sent me this message, and they kind of just were expositoring on it, or basically explaining it. And they were saying that, you know, like God has never asked you to fill anyone else's shoes, but they're your own shoes, you know? And for me, it was a word from the Lord. It was like the Lord himself just reminding me, like, I'm not calling you to be anyone but yourself, you know? And it was just, it strengthened me. It edified me. I received that, and it encouraged me and comforted me. All these things that Paul's talking about. I can think of another instance recently where there was a couple in our church that I knew was going through something hard. And this was like kind of before a service, and I'm kind of just, you know, trying to get focused on teaching in the middle of worship. I see them walk in, and there was just this heavy heart for them. And there was a scripture on my heart. I didn't know what it had to do with, but you know, as I was thinking about them, there was a scripture on my heart. So after service, one of them comes up to me and starts talking to me about something they're struggling with. And it was like a scripture directly in regard to that. And I knew it was for them. I knew it was a word for the Lord. And I'm like, this is what I believe the word of the Lord is for you. You know, like I saw you guys, and the Lord put this scripture on my heart, and they received it. Like, no, that is like it, to them, it was like water to their soul. It was that word they needed to be heard, to be edified, to be encouraged, to be comforted. So that's often how kind of I've seen it play out in my life. All right. Now, this purpose of the manifestations of the Spirit being edification is what I would say is one of the main reasons, not the only reasons, but that I personally disagree with the theology. Some Christians, and I would say this right off the bat, these are Christian men that are smarter than me. I'm not saying they're not, and I respect them. I use their commentaries and stuff, but some believe this theology that's called cessationism, all right? And I these are brothers in Christ, so I don't want to say anything like that I'm against them anyway, but I would disagree, because that is basically based, or the belief is that some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, such as prophecy or speaking in tongues, have ceased, and they don't occur for now. They're not for now. They're not for the present day. The general thinking that those gifts ceased at the completion of the canon of Scripture, or basically when the Bible was completed. And where that comes from is the passage 1 Corinthians 13:8-10, where it says, "Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it'll pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears." So the whole discussion is about, what does that word completeness mean? What is Paul talking about? You know, and that's where the debate comes in, all right? And a cessationist believing that basically this speaks of, what I've heard cessationists say that is speaking of, is the end of the apostolic age, or when the apostles completed the Bible, when it was complete, when there was no need anymore for any additional revelation, basically. Now, going back to what Paul says is the main purpose of prophecy, or these gifts of the Spirit he's talking about, which is edification, it's not revelation. I would say that throws like a stick in the spokes in that argument, in that if the purpose of prophecy and speaking in tongues is not mainly revelation, then why would revelation be the completeness that's being talked about there by Paul? All right, it's kind of, in my mind, it just doesn't add up. So, having said that, with the main purposes of that gift clearly being identified as edification of God's people, and I think that what is talking about in that completeness is that basically, it's when the Lord comes again, or when we're with the Lord, because at that point our salvation will be complete, if you will, and there will be no need for any more edification or building up or comforting, because we'll be fully with Christ and he will be everything to us, as it talks about when we're in heaven with him. And so that's what I think it means. I don't get in hot-heated arguments about this, because at the end of the day, It's like my focus is on the gospel, and I know their focus is on the gospel. But and there's other arguments that can be made regarding those things, and there's sermons about those that you can study in your own time. Or if you want to talk to me about it privately, you know, I have no problem talking in explaining like what I understand Scripture says or what my point of view is or answering any questions. But as somebody that believes that Scripture teaches us that the manifestations of the Spirit are still very much available to us today, and that has seen and experienced these things personally in my life, I have my own testimonies about them, I want to focus on that today, what I believe the Word says. And so going on to verse 5, it says, I wish you could all speak in tongues, but even more, I wish you could all prophesy, for prophecy is greater than speaking in tongues, unless someone interprets what you are saying so that the whole church will be strengthened. So Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, 29, 30, are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not. So like those are all rhetorical questions. Basically what he's getting at is not everyone has the same gifts. Basically pointing out that not everyone has the ability to speak in tongues and interpret, which at first glance would seem to contradict him telling us here in verse 5 that he wished everyone could speak in tongues. He's not saying everyone can speak in tongues, but he's saying, like, I want that for people. I want everyone to be able to do it. And it would seem to be contradictory. But my belief is back with what I pointed out at the very beginning of talking about how he's talking about tongues being used in different contexts, in different situations. My belief is that in 1 Corinthians 12, 29 through 30, he's specifically talking about speaking in tongues in a public setting because of the other public ministries that he's mentioning. He's talking about being apostles. He's talking about being prophets. He's talking about being teachers. All those things are done, you know, in other people, for the benefit of other people. God gives you those gifts so you can build up and strengthen other people in his body. And so because he's talking about a public ministry, I think that's what he's noting there, that speaking in tongues with interpretations, it's not a gift that's available to everyone in a public setting. And here in verse 5, he's specifically talking about privately praising the Lord in tongues, something that I believe is intended to be a far more common gift that we experience than it being used in a public setting. Maybe as prayer, as we're going to talk about next week in verse 14, he talks about it, praying in tongues, or singing in tongues, or worshiping the Lord in tongues. In verse 15, he talks about that. Some commentators believe that it's a gift. Those are gifts in your private devotional life that everyone has access to because he uses that word all. I can't get there because, again, he says, I wish you could all speak. He doesn't say you can all do this. So I wouldn't feel comfortable saying everyone's able to do this. Again, this is at the discretion of the Lord as the Holy Spirit leads. But I definitely would feel comfortable saying that in your private devotional life, the use of tongues is something that, best I can tell from what Paul says, is something that's supposed to happen a lot more frequent than in a public setting. And Jesus also said that speaking in tongues is something that a believer could expect in their life in Mark 16, 17, all right? So he even kind of says it's something that could happen, you know, that it would be normal. But Paul also reiterates that prophecy is the greater gift because it doesn't just edify you as speaking in tongues does without interpretation, but prophecy edifies everybody hearing it. Now, Paul's going to go back to addressing the manifestations of the Spirit in a public setting in verse 6, and he says, dear brothers and sisters, if I should come to you speaking in an unknown language, how would that help you? But if I bring you a revelation or some special knowledge or prophecy or teaching, that will be helpful. Even lifeless instruments like the flute or the harp must play the notes clearly or no one will recognize the melody. And if the bugler doesn't sound a clear call, how will the soldiers know they're being called to battle? It's the same for you. If you speak to people in words they don't understand, how will they know what you are saying? You might as well be talking into empty space. There are many different languages in the world and every language has meaning. But if I don't understand a language, I will be a foreigner to someone who speaks it, and the one who speaks it will be a foreigner to me. And the same is true for you. Since you are so eager to have the special abilities the Spirit gives, seek those that will strengthen the whole church. So anyone who speaks in tongues should pray also for the ability to interpret what has been said. So there must have been a real big emphasis on speaking in tongues in a public setting in the church in Corinth, because he's really driving home in kind of addressing this. You know, it's a major focus of his. And he's using examples that they would understand here to make it clear that it's really of no use to other people if you guys are speaking out in tongues and there's no interpretations going on so that people can understand what you're saying. It's of no use to anyone else other than you. And whereas he's not telling them to disregard speaking in tongues completely, but rather, if the Holy Spirit led them to speak in tongues, what he's saying is you should also pray to interpret it. Because again, if you're doing it with other people can hear, it's pointless for them unless that's happening. And you should want others to be edified in hearing and understanding your praise of God. He's also saying that within church gatherings, speaking forth God's word, or again, prophesying in words that could be understood by everyone there, was of far more value. That's of all things should be the thing if you're doing, you know, because this will edify people. And now he goes on to talk about the gift of tongues in our private devotional lives. But you're going to have to wait till next week before we go through that, because I don't want to go any longer tonight. Now, having said that, just the point I want to end on that maybe you guys can use as kind of a springboard into your discussion. There was a point in my walk with the Lord where I used to say regarding these things, well, I believe this or I believe that regarding these specific gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I remember the Lord convicting me of that, because at the end of the day, it didn't really matter what I believed. It only mattered what God said in his word. And I realized that I didn't really understand what was said in his word, and that I needed to kind of dig in and understand for myself, so that what I believed was based off of what God said and not just what I thought. And in doing so, I realized that my lack of belief was really coming from a place of a lack of understanding, or aka a lack of faith. And so, like, when I understood that, the way I approached these things changed, in that I just accepted that I didn't need to understand everything God's word was saying in order to believe what it was saying, like so many other things in God's word, you know, regarding the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And it allowed me to be open to these things as the Lord wanted to do them in my life. And I found myself changing from a position of being scared because I didn't understand, or being freaked out about these things, to a position of desiring them, as Paul tells me to in 1 Corinthians 14:1, at the very beginning of this thing. And the Lord responded to that desire by leading me in some of these things. And now this is an area basically that I'm constantly just seeking the Lord to help me grow in and have that sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, and then having the faith to obey as he leads, so I can experience the edification. And the Lord can edify other people through me in these things as well. So my exhortation to you tonight is to make sure what you believe is based off of God's word and not what anyone else has told you, or kind of, you know, just what your own understanding is limited to, but it is in fact based off of what God actually says, because that right there again will help you get to a place of just being able to be ministered by the Lord in this way, and being open to, you know, what he wants to do in your life, just like any other area of your life. It takes faith in what he says, and not exactly what you see or what you understand. So maybe you guys can talk about those things. I'm sure that there's probably in your different groups a variety of people that have been exposed to a whole different gamut of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you know, whether it's in previous churches or their previous experience and what they've been taught or whatnot. And it, you know, I'm praying that it's a fruitful conversation, not an argument. We don't argue about things, but just about what God's word has to say about these things. So God bless you guys. Have a great evening, and we will see you at church on Sunday.